I bring you greetings, and it's good to see so many bright faces, smiling faces. I'm happy to be here.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. There's no better place to be than to be in the presence of God. There's no better place to be than to be with the people of God. It's a thrill to be with you. Amen. And we all love you. Rick has brought greetings from North Carolina. I'd like to extend that greetings beyond the state line of North Carolina, just in case, because I have other brothers from Colorado and other states. And I want to be fair to them. Greetings from everybody to everybody. Let's put it in a nutshell. That makes it very simple. We thank God that we are part of you, and you are part of us, because many of us, we crisscross the globe, travel so many places, and taking the message of the kingdom of God throughout the ends of the earth. And we appreciate that because your prayers go with us, and you are part of us. You travel with us in the Spirit. Thank you so much for that. I bring you greetings too, especially from my homeland, from South America. You know, when I was, well, the first I came here about over 20 years ago, I came up to Canada. But before I came up to Canada, some of my friends from Canada were telling me that Canada is a beautiful place. And I would enjoy Canada. And I look forward to that time when I was coming over here. They said to me that Canada has two seasons. Well, I thought that's good because where I came from in South America, it's either hot and wet or hot and dry in the tropics. So that's okay. Not until I came here, another friend told me, there are two seasons in Canada. Well, I was more puzzled. Everybody's saying two. I was a bit inquisitive and I asked, what are these two seasons? And he replied, winter and construction. And I say, is that all? He said, yes. And then, winter and construction. But I appreciate so much because this is a beautiful land that God has called you brethren here. I appreciated the fact that the move of God started here in 1948 from a group of simple, ordinary people. The Spirit of God chose to move among the people here in 1948. And from then on, there has been an ongoing of this move. Hallelujah. And we thank God that we are part of this legacy, if you will, for what God is doing. And we're just so much thankful to the Lord for this. Today is supposed to be Good Friday. And we all know that every Friday is a Good Friday. Because this is the day that the Lord hath made. And according to Scripture, and we all know that everything that God made in the beginning, it was good. Or as they say in North Carolina, it was very good. I don't have that accent as yet. So please forgive me, Rick, if I'm just... But appreciate the fact that we can come together. This is a very memorable time in the calendar of the world. This is when that label, Good Friday, is posted on the calendar. For some countries, it's a holiday. Some people look at Good Friday as only a day, and then the next day, they consider that as Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday, Easter Monday, I don't know what they call Tuesday, but that's how it goes on. In other parts of the world, like in the Philippines, they would have an enactment of the crucifixion. Someone would volunteer, and he would volunteer to be beaten, literally shedding blood, trying to enact the crucifixion that took place almost 2,000 years ago. In other places, there are different kinds of traditions that are performed. In Guyana, where I came from, people would, a day like today would be a very quiet day. In preparation of Easter Sunday, most people go to church, and then Easter Sunday in the evening or in the afternoon, there is a massive exercise that takes place. On the Monday, known as Easter Monday, there is a grand, massive exercise. And that exercise is the flying of kites of all colors and descriptions and size and shapes and form. And the people will just line along the seawall, they call it, because just from the Atlantic Ocean, and they have their kites flying. Some just do it for fun, as a pastime and as an observation, because other people are doing it. Some of the religious folks would do it as a symbolism of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm glad that some people still recognize that Jesus was resurrected. And so this morning here, we're thankful to God that because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fears are gone. And last night, we were told about the peace of God. The peace of God. And I know we sit in our benches, and there are some storms that just come our way. Storms within our families. The storm of sickness. The storm of difficulties. The storm of financial chaos. All kinds of storms that are hitting us. Some of it, we are somewhat responsible for those storms. Others, we're not responsible. We just find ourselves in a storm. That's the case of Jesus. As He was at the stern of the boat, His head on a pillow, and the disciples were going with Jesus. Then suddenly, a storm broke out. Sometimes storms do come our way. The waves are high. We don't even know. We don't have an explanation, but it's just there. And we wonder sometimes, well, what have I done wrong? Many cases you have not done anything wrong. It's simply that God has allowed that storm to come into your life, into someone that is dear and precious to you, some member of the family, of the community, at your workplace, at your school, or wherever, and they are hit with the news of cancer, and they are hit with some sad news that they would wanted to know, how is this? But the disciples passed through a similar experience. But they were trying to see what best they can do. It reached to a point after self-effort and everything has failed. Then they realized that they should wake up the Master here. And so they woke up Jesus. They asked Him a question. Carest thou not that we perish? What's wrong? And Jesus, well, He got up. He raised His hands to the storm, and He said three of the most beautiful words. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. And I'm encouraged with those words. We have said a number of prayers here, the prayer requests that came up here. And I know within your hearts that you have some prayer requests too. Maybe for yourself, maybe for somebody that you know. But there are storms, the water is coming into the boat, and you're heading into difficult times and don't know what to do. The most blessed consolation that we have is Jesus is in the boat. And as long as Jesus is in the boat, we can be assured of that peace. And that peace that calms all fears. When Jesus raised his hand and he said, "Peace, be still," there was quietness. There was peace. Jesus came to earth physically, born of a woman, born in the flesh, came and fulfilled his ministry. And he went back to be with the Father. And today, here is the representation of God. We are the sons of God. Do you believe that? Yes. Yes, we are the representatives of God. God gave, at this season, people remember the tremendous sacrifice that Jesus died on the cross. God gave his only begotten Son so that he could have many sons unto him in glory. That's a wonderful investment. One of the best investments. And it was the most expensive price. And so, while we sit in our seat, I just wanted you to think in your hearts, what storm are you going through this morning? What storm is your brother going through? What storm is your grandson or granddaughter or your close friend going through? And because they're hurting, automatically you're hurting too. But God has called us to step into that realm as sons of God. And I'm pretty sure if Jesus was here physically, he would have said to the sick, "Be healed." If we're all in a big boat and traveling and the storms came, Jesus would have stood up and said, "Peace, be still." But it goes further than that. I want to assure you, as the sons of God, acting on God's behalf, he has given us that authority as well. That we can pray, that we can speak to the storms and say to that storm, "Peace, be still," in believing God that there will be a calm and there will be a quietness that takes place. Amen? No, I know we have prayed a few prayer requests. Didn't plan this, but I'd like us to stand. I'd like us to stand, please. Just wanted to obey the Spirit of God here. And I'd like us to really close our eyes and just think of the storms that are coming and hitting your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your son, your daughter, your grand, whoever it is. I'd like us just to raise our hands, and we are going to pray again. And by faith, we are going to raise our hands to the Most High God, the one who controls the winds and the seas and the storms and the difficulties of life. And we are going to speak to that storms on behalf of ourselves, on behalf of those around us. And we are going to say the exact words that Jesus said, "Peace, be still." Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you have vested in us the kingdom of God. You have vested in us the power of God. And so, Lord, you have called us to walk the way that you want us to walk according to your word. Thank you that Jesus is our example. And Lord, you have caused us as your representative here on earth. And so, Lord, we take this responsibility very seriously. And this morning, as we raise our hands, Lord, we speak to the storms in our lives. We speak to the storms in those around us who are going through those storms. We speak to those storms in our relatives, in our friends, in our neighbors. And Lord, we are saying, peace be still. Peace be still this morning. Can we all say together, peace be still. Once again, peace be still. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can be seated. Thank you. Let's continue to believe God. Continue to believe God. Do you believe what we have prayed here this morning that God will answer? Yes. Those phone calls that we get and those emails that we get, expect good results. Expect good results. And so I believe in this camp here, God will minister in such a way that He has never done before. I believe He will do things beyond our expectation, which should be the normal realm for us. It's normal for healings and miracles and deliverances and God answering here and there and so on, especially in these times. It should be normal. Amen. Hallelujah. We sang that song, Alas, and did my Savior bled, and did my Sovereign die. And it brings us to the historical juncture where Jesus died on the cross. And we're thankful to God for that crucifixion. We rejoice in his crucifixion. And that's wonderful. In that particular hymn, the very last line, really, we should examine it. And it says, "Here, Lord, I gave myself away. This all that I can do." This is all that we can do. Give ourselves away. Give ourselves over to God completely and wholly unto Him. And so that's an act of submission. This morning, I'd like to share with you some thoughts on submission. I know that's a very difficult subject. That's a very wide subject. And quite frankly, we will never be able to exhaust that subject because of the amount of scriptures. It's not my intention to do so either, but just to minister the Word of God in a very simple way that we know. You know, God has called us into simplicity. Serving God is very simple. Our walk with God is a simple walk, just to depend on Him, just to submit to Him in every way. And God leads us, and He guides us, and He directs us. I love the painting behind me here, the famous Holman Hunt painting. And that's the original I'm talking about. And when he had completed that painting, he had a review, an audience. And they were throwing questions at Mr. Hunt. And they were asking him several questions. But one question came up from the floor asking him, "Well, I think that you made a mistake here, Mr. Hunt. When you look at this painting with Jesus outside of the door and knocking, There is no latch on that door. And Mr. Hunt's reply was, there is no latch on the outside of the door. The latch or the knob is it's from the inside of the door. Meaning, whoever is inside will have to open the door to let Jesus in. And that is simply a picture of submission. The Lord is not, the scripture says that the thief cometh but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's not the characteristics of Jesus Christ. He's very simple and humble, and he knocks at the door. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, was what brought the inspiration of this painting. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If, as we used to say at school, if and only if any man hear my voice, I will come in. Open that door. I will come in and sup with him. So it's very conditional that the opening up of that door is from the inside. The Lord never forces his way. And just like the Holy Spirit, he is that gentle dove that comes. And he is never a pushy kind of person. He never tries to get to the forefront. He's very gentle. And that's the approach here. That God, in serving the Lord, is not forced upon us. And that's the big difference between religion and Christianity. I know you say Christianity, but I like to emphasize that word, Christianity. And that's the big difference, because religion teaches you to do, and to do different things in order to reach God. Salvation says it's already done. You don't have to do anything. You just have to open your heart. Open up your life. Don't let those blocked areas be there. Just open to the Lord. Submission is an openness before God. Submission is a very key component in the kingdom of God. Because when we submit to God, he will use us and anoint us. No better example than Jesus himself. He met with his disciples and he took the towel and he put it around his waist, and there it was. He's getting down to business. Submission is an act of humility. Submission is a spiritual act. He got down to business. He got the basin. And the other disciples must have been wondering in their minds, what's going on here? Until one of the disciples, Peter, as usual, for those that name Peter, no offense, Peter got up and said, not so, Lord. You can't wash my feet. And the Lord said to him, suffer it to be so now. And he went down, humbled himself as the Son of God, as the team leader, and the one who is the Messiah and Savior. But what he was doing, he was teaching them the example of submission, of humility, of obedience to his Father. He wanted to impart this here. And we can see this throughout Scripture. Submission, submission, submission. It is a way that we all have to go. The way of the cross is a way of submission. Leonard Ravenhill said, we have to stoop. And the gate is very low, and that door is very low. So in order to enter, we have to go very humbly.
We cannot go with our chest up. It's a very humble walk. It's a walk of submission. It's a walk that God would want us to walk. I dare say that submission is not artificial. We cannot act outwardly, oh, I'm submissive. Well, for those of us who've been to school, in primary school and the lower, we know how to act and to be, oh, and the teacher says, well, this child is very obedient, very good, and so we can act. But when that child goes home, you know the rest of the story. But I think of that little boy who was so hard and rebellious, because the opposite of submission is rebellion. He is so rebellious that he was asked to sit. He wanted to stand. Finally, they got him to sit down, and he said, we all know this, he said, I'm sitting down, but inside of me is standing up. Standing up. So the rebellion can come in different forms and shape. It can be very extrovert in its operation. It can be very quiet and subtle. But it's God that judges the spirit. Submission comes deep from within our spirits. There is where it comes from. I'd like to read some scripture before I realize time is just fleeting by. And I'd like us to turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 22. And in this book of Psalms, chapter 22, we read a few verses. And we look at Jesus, who is our example. Verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh. Thank you. I have to be submissive here. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, and from the words of my roaring? This first part of this verse here were the exact words that Jesus used at a very crucial moment that he was going through. Felt forsaken. Sometimes we go through our struggles and we feel that way. And I have many times. But I know that the Lord has not forsaken us. He just wants us to go through the thin end of the horn so he can pull us out and bring us out for his glory. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I'm not silent. That breaks our spirit down so that we can be more humble and more submissive and yielded to the Lord. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, and I appreciated the prophecies last night and this morning on trusting the Lord, because submission is an act of trust. Once we've given over everything to the Lord, we are submitting it to him. We are trusting him. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. Verse 5. They cried unto me and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. I know sometimes we go through the maze of confusion, of difficulties, of fears, of fightings, of wanderings, all kinds of experiences, but in it all, in simple trusting in the Lord. The scripture says here in verse 5, they were not confounded. Verse 6, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. While we're down in South America, I often use this example, the difference between a serpent and a worm. And I often use that example to bring out and the picture of submission as against the picture of rebellion. Serpent is there in the jungle of South America. I'm not speaking about the anaconda. That's the big one. But the serpent's there, and the snake, as you approach them, what happens? Immediately, he's ready. He's ready. I'm almost doing the sign of the cobra here. He's ready just to do what? To hiss, to fight. He is a true act of rebellion there, of fighting, of defense. That defense mechanism is part of him. On the flip side of that, there is a particular worm. This worm, the moment you touch this worm, it coils around. And it coils around in a circle. In other words, as though it was saying, I'm submitted to you. Do me anything that you want. Crush me, if you will. I'm submitted to you. You can't get that level of submission from the serpent. This is the thought that really hit me when I read verse 6. I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of the people. The crucifixion scenario that took place when Jesus was like a sheep before his shearers. He was dumb. He didn't open his voice. He didn't say anything. He did not fight back. He did not defend himself. He knew. He was very submissive. When I say submissive in this case, he was very submissive to the Father's will and submissive to God. Because certainly he could have called 10,000 angels and legions upon legions of angels to come to his defense. But he was submissive to God. And more so at the breaking point of that Garden of Gethsemane, when he gathered with his disciples and he was there with them. From the Garden of Gethsemane, overlooking the old city, between the old city and the Garden of Gethsemane was the Kidron Valley that stood there. And from that particular point, you could look over and you could see the eastern gate of the old city. While, based on the history of Suleiman the Magnificent, how they got that name, it's not a story. But he sealed the eastern gate because he felt that the Messiah will come through that gate. So, well, that, as we say in South America, that does not affect the price of bread. That does not mean a thing. If God wants to jump over on it, that does not mean anything. But just goes to show. But as Jesus was on that side, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. And there were drops of blood that came from him. And it was said by the medical people that when someone is under severe stress and they're going through real hard, difficult times, it is possible to sweat drops of blood. Jesus realized at that point what he was going through. And at the same time, humanly, I'm glad that the human element came out in the scriptures so that the Lord could identify himself with us. He said, "Father, let this cup pass from me." Nevertheless, here is the submission part. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Submission of our will to God's will. God's will must be final. And when we obey the Lord, the peace of God just rushes into our being. And we know that we are doing what God will is in submission to him. Sometimes making that decision could be the biggest struggle between the spiritual and the carnal. Paul went through that experience. He said that when he would to do good, what happens? Evil is presented before him. And every time he was going, bouncing back and forth, he came to the conclusion, he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" It's that point. I'll say to you again, like the songwriter, "Here, Lord, I give myself away. This all that I can do." That's all God wants us to do. He gave his all for us. He's done his part. And this is where I would like to challenge you as God's people on the word of God to just give up ourselves to him. Give it all to the Lord. I think of David. David, the short version is that when he met with Ornan, he wanted this threshing floor. And he went to Ornan. And he asked Ornan if he can sell it. And Ornan was hesitant about that because David being the king. But when you analyze the spirit of Ornan, there's four words that I love in that extract. The scripture says, Ornan gave it all. He gave the threshing instruments. He gave the threshing floor. He gave it up all. So submission is an absolute surrender. As Andrew Murray, the famous preacher from South Africa, would say, absolute surrender. Surrender. Committed to his will. Surrender fully to him. And so this is the season where the world looks at the crucifixion. But the crucifixion should be part of our experience. Paul spoke about that, about dying daily to the self and being alive in Christ. Just flip over to Psalm 23 because there's lots of David. The Lord said that he pulled David out from the sheepcote. You remember when Samuel went? And he went to anoint one of the sons of Jesse. Samuel didn't know. And Abinadab came, and the other one came, and the other one came, and they were just... And Samuel thought in his natural mind, well, this is going to be the one. He looks good. He's got broad shoulders. Probably handsome. He is the guy. I'm sure he is the guy. That's not the will of God. Until he would have exhausted all. And then suddenly, Samuel asked, "Jesse, are these all your son?" And then the little ruddy fella that was in the pasture tending his sheep, he was the one least expected, least known, God's choice. When David came up, must have had the smell of sheep on him. You cannot be a shepherd and don't have the smell of sheep all over you. Handling them and And I tell you, a shepherd, well, being in the profession of a shepherd is one of the lowest professions. One of the lowest professions. But God chose one from the pasture right into the palace. Because examine the life of David keenly, you will see that David lived a life of submission. Yes, he failed God. Any of us, I know we come with a lot of failures and we feel that, oh, we've messed up and we have not done what is expected. But the Lord is able to help us. So David, when he sinned against Bathsheba, he sinned against the Lord, and nobody knew. Very quiet, nobody knew. Until Nathan the prophet came and explained to him and put this in a parable form and says, well, here was a man having a lot of sheep, and here was another man who was poor and he just had one ewe lamb, and then the one that had many just took away that. And David said, that man should be killed and he should be given over. But Nathan, he said, thou art the man. What was David's reaction? He did not fight back. He did not call on the armies of Israel to kill Nathan. He humbled himself. He submitted. There will come a time that we all have to submit to each other. And it's no point saying that I'll submit to God, but I would not submit to my brother. It's just like saying, I love God, but I can't love my brother. How can you do that? That's hypocrisy, saying I love the Lord and I don't love my brother. In the authority and the order of the church, there must be submission. If not, there will not be that ongoing of what the Lord expects of us. Like I said, there are lots and lots of scripture. This yielding over to the Lord is important. This giving of ourselves. And we do that in prayer. Like I said, this morning, it's not my intention to bring new doctrine, expect the depth of these things. The walk of God is very simple. Just to remind you, love the Lord, submit ourselves to God, give Him our all, and He will bless us. Simple. I love Christianity. I love the Lord. I love God's people. I love walking with God. It is so simple. God has not asked us to provide a bullock or provide this. No, salvation is wonderful, glorious, and I'm so appreciative. But God wants us to submit. And submission start from us. First of all, we need to be submissive to God. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7, James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves to who? To God. Submit yourselves to God. And in submission to God, we are submitting to His word. I'm so glad that we have this manual. We have a constitution to operate with in our lives. We have God's word that we can lean on heavily and know that His truth will just lead us on and on. So submission to God is important. If we submit to God, we will find our own ideas and thoughts will vanish even before God. Because His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are far bigger than our ways. In following in the will of God, He knows what's best for us. Sometimes we might think, well, this is what is best for me. But that's not always. submission in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. And if you find that, the wise man Solomon principally wrote a number of things here, and in chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, read, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to your own understanding." So there is the question with our biggest struggle, with our mind, our understanding. And that's where the struggle comes in. Sometimes God is leading us in His will, and we have that struggle. "In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Submit, give over to Him. Recognize His sovereignty. And He shall direct thy path." He shall direct thy path. So that submission to God is very important. Submission is necessary in the home, and that's a wide subject. And I think of that scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. In some groups, when we minister on this verse and we read, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord," you would hear a loud amen coming from the men. Amen. You know. But it has often been said that the women, the makeup of women are as such. Out of love, they will submit to their husbands. Isn't that amazing? When we really love the Lord, we will submit to Him. It wouldn't be a problem of submission. And we wondered why that instructions went to the men. Husbands, what? Love your wives. I thought the ladies would have been shouting amen here. Husbands, love your wives. That was directed to the men, and to love their wives, to take care. But in that act of submission, the wives submitting to the husband loving their wives. So it's twofold. It's not very jerky. It's smooth, if I may use that. And many of these marriage seminars that we have been to and conducted, this is a key scriptures. And when you get some of the wives separately and some of the husbands separately, I remembered some years ago in the island of Antigua, Brother Murphson Bo was there, we had divided up the group, and the women gathered separately from the men, and they had their discussions after, you know, teachings and so on. And each group had to come up with at least 10 things that the wives expect of their husbands. And the men had to come up with 10 things what they expect in their wives. I tell you, talk about expectations. Expectation, you know. I dare say that the ladies had more than 10. And I don't blame them. But it's just a question of that submissiveness. Because if both husbands and wives submit to the Lord, it's easy. It's easy. Because in submitting to the Lord, and the Lord helps us in our marriage. The moment we're having difficulties in our marriage, examine that question. How submissive am I before God? How submissive am I? maybe that's what is needed, that submission to God, because He will help us. And then, you know, submission one to another. I submit to the brethren. We submit to each other. Not because some are more handsome than some. That doesn't exist in submission. It's simply that spirit, that attitude. And anyone who is willing to go on and to learn and to progress will have the right spirit. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, that's a general, command, if you will, advice, counsel, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we submit to each other. Submission in the things that the Holy Spirit has led us to. And submission. And I could go on and on. But I believe if there is that one word I want to leave with you is submission. And when I'm speaking sometimes, I use South America as the reference point because that's where I spent most of my life. I was born and bred in the deep, deep South. You couldn't get further south. I'm in this group than South America. And I use that example that they would, in each group, in each person, they would normally have a statement of their lives, of the group. A mission statement, if you will. And I love to use this. I would often put it this way. The mission is what? Huh? Submission. That's right. That's our mission. Our number one mission should be submission. Submission to God. And He takes it from there. That's one of the things when I came into the move that has really attracted me. Is the humility, the simplicity, and the submission to God by God's people. So, this morning, I'm not going to go further. Like I said, I have lots of other scriptures and examples and so on. But in the interest of time, I just feel that I should close here now. Can we just bow our heads, close our eyes? And in a few quiet moments, you can ask the Lord and renew that vow before Him just to be submissive in His hand that He can really take full control of your life and help you. Just ask the Lord quietly. Examine yourselves and areas that you seem very hard and difficult to submit to the will of God. He can help you. Our Heavenly Father, today we say the words of the songwriter. Here, Lord, I give myself away. This all that I can do. Father, as a corporate body of Christ gathered in this meeting place, we give ourselves to you, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to take us and take full control of our lives. We give our wills to you. Not our wills, but your will be done. Be with us. Bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.